A massive intelligence effort to get information on authorized and so-called unauthorized churches in Karnataka ahead of the anti-conversion bill is on. Is this being done to prevent forced conversions, or is this interference with the church? That's what we're looking at. Joining us now, Dr. Peter Machado, the Metropolitan Archbishop of Bangalore. Thank you very much, Archbishop, for being with us. Now, the allegation is that there are forced conversions in the state, and presumably it's because of these forced conversions that churches need to be monitored. How would you respond to that?
Yes, Mr. Somo, I've heard about it. And in Karnataka, it's a big bogey now that there are forced conversions. I'm not aware where it is and how forced they are and what is their number also, because this is a big bogey that is coming up. And I don't think it is true. And, if there are some stray incidents, surely the police and intelligence have their own means to find it out, but not blacklist the whole community to say that we are converting and we are en masse. Mass conversions are going on here.
Archbishop, the information that was sought on churches in the state is information you could have passed on in a matter of 5 minutes, right? It didn't require some sort of investigation.
Yes,
you have a list in front of you, right? Of halls and churches.
Yes, surely.
So this entire allegation of there being illegal halls and churches,
if there was something,
is that incorrect? Is that a figment of somebody's imagination?
I would say yes. It is surely a complaint that is made against us, which has no basis.
Sir, the Hosdurg BJP MLA, Gulihati Shekhar, has claimed that 15 to 20,000 religious conversions have taken place to Christianity in his constituency alone. He's from Hosdurg. Again, what do you make of that?
You know, I'm not very sure, because as per the Constitution, Article number 25, we can profess, we can propagate, and also we can make known of our religion. If the people are making it known in a good way, it is surely allowed. I say that there is no such thing as that we should not pray, proclaim our religion, that we should not propagate our religion. The Constitution itself allows it. And Mr. Golihatti, he is making accusation of his own family. Do you think it is true that an MLA who has got so much security that someone should go to his house and carry his force, his mother, or give her inducements? Is it necessary? Is it possible at all? And just wearing certain crosses, perhaps some people are going about to certain books and certain pictures, that cannot be considered conversion. I think the High Court of Madras said that just wearing a cross or going to the church doesn't make you a Christian, doesn't signify that you have changed your religion. I think we in India, we have in peace with all the religions, with the Hindus and Muslims. And in this inter-religious atmosphere where we celebrate our feasts, I have told our people that we should celebrate also Deepavali, because it's a symbol of light and darkness. It is surely a great feast for us. So also for Christmas, I find so many of the non-Christians coming and visiting our cribs. Should we say that this is conversion on either sides here? I don't think Mr. Golihatti or the other should make an accusation of that sort. And knowing another religion, studying about another religion, having the book of the religion, does not mean they have changed the religion. It is not so simple as that.
Archbishop, I'm told on the 19th of October, there was an attack on a Christian prayer hall in Hubballi. Earlier, there was one on the 10th of September in Karnataka.
Yes.
Are prayer halls and churches being attacked?
Yes. In Hubli, there was I'm told that one particular community people entered forcefully into one of our worship places, and they were singing their own hymns or bhajans, whatever it is, and it was very embarrassing. And in a country like India, in a place like Hubli, which is a city, a smart city also, that such things should happen and can happen, it's frightening. Tomorrow perhaps it's happening in the cities, what could happen in the villages and the interior places. I think our government, especially the Karnataka government, has to take into consideration that they don't allow these fringe elements or small groups to act and bring them a bad name. You know, Karnataka is a very peaceful state. We are all having good harmony among the Christians, among the Hindus. And I have told also our Christian institutions, especially in Bangalore, we have over 1,000 schools. They are just sort of, frequented by Hindus and Muslims in big numbers. Do you think conversion is going on there? In our hospitals, St. John's Hospital at one time had 900 COVID patients. And we have the St. Martha's, St. Philomena's, all our Christian hospitals. And during the COVID time, it was the easiest time for us if we wanted to make them Christians.
Archbishop, I take the point.
But
that,
we will not
you know,
do it.
I mean, and the word you began with in answering my questions was, why is this bogey being thrown? I think that's a serious point which really needs to be looked at. Yeah. Archbishop, thank you very much for speaking to us. Thank you very much indeed, sir. We're now joined by Dr. Vamanacharya, the senior spokesperson of the BJP in Karnataka, and K. Rehman Khan, a former union minister for minority affairs. Thank you very much for being with us. Dr. Vamanacharya, besides anything else, is it fair that workers allegedly belonging to the Vishwa Hindu Parishad should barge into a Christian prayer hall in Hubli on the 19th of October? On the 19th of September, Hindu Jagran Vedike workers allegedly disrupt a prayer meeting in Karkala in Karnataka. It's not just it's violence. It's an attack.
Yes, one thing is such attacks are to be condemned. But look at what Christians are doing. Bernard Shaw had said long back that Christianity is a fraud. They do fraudulent activity and convert people to Christianity. They take people into their control.
Dr. Vamanacharya, these are your views, but I think in the interest of people across our country, I think it's best not to offend people of a particular faith or of other faiths for that matter.
But so what are Christians doing every day?
By labeling an entire faith, which has billions of followers around the world, as a fake or a fraud, I think it's dangerous.
What are Christians doing every day? Every morning and evening, what they do? They get Hindus there. They criticize Hindu gods. They talk bad about Hindu religion and ultimately make them convert. An MLA like Gulihatti Shekhar and his mother were converted by fraudulent activity. Now she has come back to her religion. What is the situation that is happening? People who were in the country hardly less than 1% when we got independence are crossing 3% today. Why all this has happened? There is no place. Jesus had died 2,000 years back and the Christianity is no more Christianity.
I'm sorry, but I don't think you can just attack an entire faith in this manner. Let's stick to the topic at hand.
Let's stick to the topic at hand and the allegations of forced conversions. I think there's a difference between attacking an entire faith.
And I'm sorry, that cannot be allowed.
They criticize.
Let's talk about the particular issue.
How can Hindus keep quiet when they keep criticizing Hindu gods? Right. You tell me.
The point which is mentioned is that there are massive forced conversions. Is there any direct evidence of this in Karnataka?
There are. I told you the statistics.
Sir, I'm just asking Mr. Rehman Khan this
which
question.
Which was just 3% has 0.3%.
I'm asking Mr. Rehman Khan. Mr. Khan, go ahead.
Several states in Northeast have become completely Christian states.
Dr. Vamanacharya, hold your peace, sir. Yeah, go ahead. Dr. Rehman, Mr. Rehman Khan, go ahead. Yes.
Mr. Vishnu, I was very hurt by the way Mr. Vamanacharya is alleging a particular religion. It is not in the good taste anyhow. It is in your channel. I think you have rightly said that we have no right to criticize a religion as a fraud or anything, but the forceful conversion, no forceful conversion should take place. No religion will permit forceful conversion. I agree that there should not be any forceful conversion. But Brahman, there should be prog. There is law if there is a...
Frequently, but what is
followed... No, no, but Dr. Vamanacharya, you know, it's a bit please, unfair let, if you let don't let him answer.
I will answer you. You are right. You see, I am saying forceful conversion is not, doesn't come under the purview of Article 25. Let us be very clear about it. No forceful conversion in religion, no religion. Hinduism will not permit, Islam will not permit, Christianity also will not permit. Or giving some gratification and bringing to them, that is no religion at all. Let us understand this basic principle. Now, if there are instances of forceful conversion, law will take its own course, not the people. You see, for centuries we have lived together. Christianity is existing, Islam is existing, Buddhism is existing, several religions are existing, and Hinduism is existing, and it is one of the major religion. All the other religions admit it. So there should not be, if there is forceful conversion, yes, you have law, you have this thing, you can complain. But why taking law into own hands? There is, I have not come across, yes, if there are instances, It is coming in paper. It is as is what is said that 20,000 people in has been converted in a one particular village. I cannot understand it.
Yeah, what is the evidence of that?
It is not possible.
What is the evidence of that, Dr. Vamanacharya?
There is no evidence.
Right.
20,000, one or two incidents can be there and which can be tackled by law. But 20,000, it is exaggeration figure. And then this will create tension within the society.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think we need to, just ensure that there is no tension. And we need to ensure that we respect all faiths in this country, not refer to any of them as a fraud or a fake or anything of that sort. I'm out of time. I need to wrap this up at this stage. But what are these investigations on the number of churches and prayer halls in Karnataka all about? Is it really necessary when a list of all of this, the Archbishop says, could have been provided? If there are 20,000 forced conversions, what is the proof of that? Are there any clear answers to that? We're out of time. We take this short break.